Welcome aboard, you people, to the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. Off for another day of broadcast insolence.
Happy Kopeck Day to you, bro.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. I said that to some people on Michigan Avenue on the way in. Some of them looked at me a little strange. They don't realize this is a very, very big day for White Sox fans.
For the Chicago White Sox, our partners in crime. Mm-hmm. The Chicago White Sox. And Kevin and I are going to be at the game today.
That's right.
Tonight.
I can't remember a more hyped prospect. I mean, just last year, Yoan Moncada got called up, but there's just a little something more here with Michael Kopech.
Yes, and then when Eloy Jimenez comes up, the Pope is going to come to Chicago and watch him actually play, I think is what's going to happen there. All right, a lot going on in the world here. Let's start with the action in New York before we get to the action in Alexandria, Virginia. But right now, there is a court hearing going on. Michael Cohen is in court. He's been in court for a session that was scheduled to start about 12 minutes ago in New York federal courthouse. He is going to plead guilty to a number of crimes. And there's a range of 3 to 5 years to which he may be sentenced for this. Renato Mariotti is with us. And Renato, of course, is a legal analyst at CNN, and you get to see him here. And he's also he's got his own, he's at a firm here, former federal prosecutor,
yes.
And now a lawyer in private practice.
Kind of a big deal.
Yes,
this Renato Mariotti.
Right.
He is.
I'll take it.
So he's in court right now. I'm sure. At least on the prosecutor side, you've probably stood there mm-hmm. with people who are pleading guilty. Take us through a little bit of what the parameters are here. Does this keep Donald Trump from being able to pardon him if he pleads out first?
No, not at all. The president can pardon him at any time. Could have pardoned him a week ago. Can pardon him a month from now. He can pardon him whenever he wants. You know, it seems to me that the fact that he's pleading guilty right now suggests that he doesn't have a pardon deal in hand, because you can get pardoned before you plead guilty. Richard Nixon, mm-hmm. for example, was right. pardoned before he pled guilty. You know, the good news, if you're a supporter of Trump's, is that the deal supposedly does not include a cooperation component, which means either that Michael Cohen didn't have enough to offer the prosecutors to get a cooperation deal, or he was not willing to cooperate. On the flip side, reportedly, the deal involves a plea to a campaign finance charge, which would involve the president. So it would be him saying that his payments to various women not to talk were, in fact, a violation of campaign finance law and were a crime. And that could involve President Trump. And so, you know, in the moments to come, when we look at the documents that are going to come out publicly, the plea agreement and the charging document, which will be called an information, what will be interesting to see is how the documents reflect the president's involvement. He won't be named. He'll be called Person A or Person B or something like that.
How would it be known? How would it happen, though, that Renato, that then he would not be cooperating with them against the president? If he has tapes, he was his fixer, his go-to guy for so much of this. And if they are asking him about the campaign finance violations, if that's one of the charges, why wouldn't it be that there'd be some cooperation deal made? It seems odd.
It does seem odd. There's a lot of questions about that. There's a couple possibilities come to mind. First of all, Cohen could just decide that it wasn't worth doing. He decided he didn't want to do that for whatever reason, the stress of it, etc. You know, there are often people who take the fall and they don't decide not to cooperate against somebody. That's always possible. Another possibility is that when the government evaluated the testimony he was proposing and looked at the whole package. I mean, remember, Michael Cohen now is pleading guilty to crimes involving dishonesty, bank mm-hmm. fraud, tax fraud. He has had issues with the truth in the past. There's all sorts of potential privilege issues with the president. You know, he taped the president without his knowledge, et cetera. They perhaps decided that
they taped that would have occurred before he was president of the United States, though.
Correct.
So is there privilege? It appears by saying, ask Michael Cohen about that, which is what the president said aboard Air Force One to the press when asked about the whole Stormy Daniels affair. You'll have to mm-hmm. ask my lawyer, Michael Cohen, about that. Does that automatically waive privilege? At least in that case.
I don't think so, but it appears that they later waived privilege. Remember, Rudy Giuliani went on television and discussed the contents of the tape, et cetera, and presented their view of it, which would waive privilege. So but what I mean is that it would allow the president's team to make an argument that he was sneaking around and doing things without the president's knowledge, and he was not really on the president's team. And we saw in the Manafort trial how they painted Rick Gates. If any of you were paying attention to that, you saw Rick Gates being portrayed as this boogeyman and this guy who was doing things without Manafort's knowledge. You can imagine what they would do to Michael Cohen up on the witness stand. He's also a convicted fraudster. He's, you know, been doing things without the president's
and
knowledge.
And these are there are things related to getting loans from banks. There's things related to his taxicab business that he was involved with, right? That's where this raft of other charges comes in here.
The tax fraud, bank fraud, and those are serious charges.
And 3 to 5 years seems about right in a white collar with a load of charges like this, your experience?
It seems like a good deal for Cohen. I mean, I think without any sort of, without agreeing.
You get that deal for not going to trial?
Yeah, and not only not going to trial, but immediately pleading guilty prior to an indictment. And so I think what happened there was not only that he got just the typical deal you would get for pleading guilty, but I think they perhaps looked at the loss amount and calculated that differently than they would have. The loss amount being the amount of fraud that was involved differently than if he had gone to trial.
May I ask you this question, and then can we take a quick break? Because the jury has just now passed another note to the judge. So we're going to get your analysis of what's happening in Alexandria, Virginia at the Paul Manafort trial, where the jury seems to be hung up on, we're being told, on one issue.
One count.
One count. They went back to try to hash that out, and by now they may have started to fight about the other 17, so we'll find out what that note is. But let me ask you this. Has it ever been done that when you have, because I know there's a lot of people going to wonder this, back to Michael Cohen, has it ever been done where they just agreed to a deal like this, because there's so many other things not related to Donald Trump, that they say that this is not a deal where, a cooperator deal, you're not cooperating, we're going to stick to the four corners of what's happening here in front of us in terms of your bank fraud and all of that. Does Michael Cohen have an opportunity to then try to mitigate his time served by popping up with tapes?
He certainly has the opportunity to do that
later. Have you seen that happen?
Yeah, and it has happened. But generally speaking, that's a bad strategy for the defense. If you know right now that you want to cooperate, you want to wrap that up in the deal now because you have some leverage. You haven't pled guilty yet. So in exchange for getting that cooperation deal, you want to wrap that all together once before you give up the leverage of whether or not you've pled guilty. So it's something that usually happens when people have a change of heart. In the beginning, they thought they weren't going to flip, and then later on, they decide to.
All right. All right. Stay right here. Renato, we've locked the door. You can't leave.
We need you.
Yes, because there's a lot going on here. We'll find out both what's happening in the Michael Cohen case, where he is just he's in court right now. We're told pleading guilty to these multiple counts of fraud and other things. And then we're waiting to find out what the note was just sent back in Alexandria, Virginia, in the Manafort trial. All of that is coming your way. But first, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Well, as you just mentioned, a new note from the jury in the Paul Manafort trial. Could it be a verdict?
Here is Violetta.
There's only one way to welcome the boys from Minnesota to the South Side. Fireworks, Tuesday Night Baseball, White Sox Twins, tonight at 7 p.m. on WGN-TV. It's Michael. It's a Kopech day today.
It's Sandy Koufax Kopech.
Sandy Kopech
is who is going to be the... I'm just going to call him Sandy from this point forward.
Oh, good.
Sandy Kopech. Because that's what he's going to be. All right, so Renato Mariotti is with us. He is a legal analyst at CNN and former federal prosecutor. And we should talk about where we stand here, not only in Michael Cohen, because we're waiting Michael Cohen's lawyers to come out, and maybe federal prosecutors. We're not quite sure who we're going to hear from here. There's a bunch of microphones in front of the federal courthouse in New York after Michael Cohen enters his plea. We're told he's right now in the courtroom entering his plea to 8 criminal counts. And you just said, do you think that's a lot for a single plea?
Well, can I interrupt you a little bit here?
Yes.
This is for another case. Now, we are hearing that in the Manafort trial, the jury has reached a verdict on 8 counts, cannot reach a verdict on 10.
Hmm.
Wow.
So it was more than just
one,
the one.
It was 10.
That's interesting. That makes more sense. Because the counts were grouped into certain, I guess I'll say, each incident, there was different criminal incidents that they charged in multiple counts. So I think there was 4 counts per incident or something like that. And so it makes more sense. I mean, jury verdicts don't always make sense, but it makes more sense that they would have reached an agreement on certain groups of counts. But that's interesting. That's a pretty good, that's a better result for Manafort. If he gets a hung jury on 10 counts.
Then what does that mean to you?
Well, it means his defense attorney did a good job. As a practical matter, it means absolutely nothing to the guy. He's convicted felon on 8 counts. The judge is going to take into account everything from the 18 counts, even though he was not found guilty on the other 10. But maybe it gives a talking point, although it's not a really strong talking point on the Trump side to say, hey, my guy is guilty on 8 counts and the jury couldn't convict on 10. I mean, it doesn't have a real ring to it.
Mm-hmm. And some of them may still carry heavy sentences, right? Eight of the charges.
Oh, it's the same sentence. Yeah, he doesn't, effectively has no impact on the sentence at all.
Mm-hmm.
So do we have a sense... Judy, can I go back to you for just a second? Do we have a sense when they're going to be reading that verdict?
No.
Okay.
If I'm reading on Twitter that the jury entered the courtroom. If that's the case, it'll be within 10 minutes. It'll probably be on the air.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Boy, this is can't reach consensus on 10 counts in Paul Manafort. All right. So I'm looking at the stuff that's also coming across here.
Yeah, too.
Now, you said they've grouped it. So in terms of these, so they're probably, if you said there's 4 counts per?
Something like that. I'm going based on my memory. But what I mean is this. Sometimes you can charge essentially the same thing in multiple different ways. Some event or some falsehood could be bank fraud and tax fraud or something like that. So occasionally jurors have inconsistent verdicts where they'll say for the same activity that it's you're guilty of one crime but not another. It doesn't really make a lot of sense.
One of the interesting things I find about this when I'm thinking about both of these cases is the stress that that people in the White House say the president is under at the moment may be this stress. That in my mind, I'm thinking this really has to do more with him, the president, debating with himself about whether he should pardon these guys.
Well, it's his personal attorney, his fix-it man, and then his the man who ran his campaign, right, on the same day.
I barely knew him. Met him once.
These kinds of things happening. One's in the hands of the FBI and, striking a plea agreement. The other one was we're about to hear about 8 of 18 counts.
And I know this question is going to be asked a little bit later on, but let's get it out of the way because this will get lost. He's got another case coming up next month. Paul Manafort does in Washington, D.C., in the District of Columbia,
right.
That is related to other things. They're a little closer to his work with the president, but it's still not technically related to his, to Donald Trump or the Russians in that respect. Do you think that if they get a mixed verdict here, that they will continue on in D.C.?
Well, if I was on the defense team and I got a guilty verdict on any counts here, what I would do is I would try to work out a deal with Mueller's team to wrap up the D.C. case into the Virginia case, waive venue. Venues, essentially, you can only be charged with a crime in the place where it was committed. So some of these crimes are committed allegedly in D.C. and some in Virginia. I would try to get it all before Judge Ellis because he seems to be somewhat sympathetic to the defense. The D.C. judge is pretty mad at Manafort because he's been violating her bond conditions.
That's why he ended up in the clink.
Yeah. Exactly right. So that's what I would try to do if I was on the defense team. They may have a different strategy. They've been very aggressive to the end. That's what I would do. One thing that would impact, I will say, the D.C. trial is that if Manafort is convicted of any counts in the Virginia case, he could, if he took the stand in the D.C. case, he could be cross-examined based on those prior convictions.
They're running out of the courtroom now with, this looks like we might actually be getting a verdict here. Hold on.
Right.
Renato, what happens to the 10 counts the jury could not agree upon? Obviously, you say it really doesn't mean much as a practical matter, but on those 10 counts, would the judge even instruct instruct them to go back at this point to a jury, or that he would just accept their verdict on the eight counts?
No, he would accept their verdict. I mean, at this point, it looks like he's going to accept the verdict and the eight counts. Those 10 counts could be retried. The Mueller's team could decide to go to trial on the other 10. If this was any other case, I'd say there's no chance of that, because the eight counts are, if they get a guilty on any of them, it's essentially a complete victory. But you know, it's anything is possible given the nature of the case.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that we're misreading this completely and they've exonerated him on eight?
Yeah, it's possible, but I think it's unlikely. Given that, you know, given that there was just overwhelming evidence on some of these counts, but you know, anything is possible. But I would be very surprised if this was my client. If Paul Manafort was my client, I would be preparing him for a guilty verdict on all, likely all of those counts.
And what kind of what sort of a bid could he do on something like this? Another 3 to 5, 5 to 7, something like that? Would you
guess? Or more? Yeah, it just depends.
If you were the prosecutor in this, what would you be asking for if you got 8 out of 10?
I would be asking him.
I'm afraid. Now it scared me with that reaction. Like, oh, no.
Well, if I was the prosecutor, I'd be asking for over 10 years. What Ellis will give.
Because that changes where they go, right? In terms of.
Oh, for sure. And also, you know, don't forget, Manafort went to trial on this and fought to the bitter end. It's different than Cohen in the beginning, before there's even indictment, just laying down and pleading to and agreeing to a deal. Here, Manafort's challenged the authority of Mueller and gone to trial and fought to the bitter end.
He was talking out of school about, you know, he's talking to other people, not in this case, but in the other case.
Right.
But they take that all into account, right? Isn't
correct.
It kind of one gigantic mm-hmm. bouillabaisse of anger and horror and resentment.
Now, yeah, and wait, it looks like, okay, I'm going to make a New York Times reporter just tweeted out that the verdict on the eight counts is guilty.
Okay. Eight counts, huh? So the groupings, as you were talking about, there are 5 counts involving false income tax returns. Then there's 4 counts about reporting foreign bank accounts.
All right.
5 on bank fraud, and then 4 on 4 on bank fraud.
All right. Let's, Judy, let's check with you here.
Okay, so as we know, the jury in the Paul Manafort financial fraud trial says it has reached a verdict on 8 counts but remains undecided on 10 others. Now, the judge is going to ask each juror if they believe any further deliberations would help them reach a verdict. If they say no, then he says he has no choice other than to declare mistrials of those 10 counts and accept the verdicts that they agree upon.
Okay. All right. Well, this is all so very unsettling on so many levels. You know what, Judy? Why don't you do the rest of your news right now?
All right,
and then we will we'll come back and we'll reconvene here and figure out what we have. And Judy's news is being brought to you by Arkadek. Pro Con Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Brett
Baer
joins us on the Super Celebrity Hotline from the Fox News Channel, and Renato Mariotti is with us. He is a CNN legal analyst. You two just play nice with each other. That's all I'm going to ask. All right, Brett, let's your initial reaction here, or what has Fox News learned any more color on this? Paul Manafort guilty on 8 of the 18 counts here.
Yeah, so it's a breakdown, counts 1 through 5, and a couple of other charges. So the tax fraud counts at the beginning of the first 5 of the charges. The jury found that he was guilty of, and then 3 other counts later of hiding foreign money, and they are stuck on 10. And right now the judge is going one by one, interviewing the jurors to see if indeed he has to call a mistrial, or a hung jury rather, on the 10 other counts.
Could I interrupt you here? I'm sorry, from the newsroom, because just to let you know, they have declared a mistrial on those. He has declared a mistrial on those.
Just now, yeah.
Just now.
Yep, they just put that out. Mistrial on the other 10 counts. So then you're looking at guilty on counts 1 through 5, 12, 25, and 27. That's a lot of potential jail time.
Now, I guess the question is, these are all grouped together, these kinds. As you just mentioned, it's tax fraud is 1 through 5, and these others involve the hiding of foreign money.
Failure to file reports on foreign bank and financial accounts, bank fraud, and the other one is bank fraud. So okay. It's dealing with loans and the lender cited in the indictment.
So the interesting question is going to be here for everybody is, what are the ones that could not find him guilty on, or the ones that they could not come to a decision on?
Right.
And are those the more significant ones, or does that have to do with the ostrich jacket?
You know, no, listen, they're all in the same vein, right? I mean, they're all like tax fraud, bank fraud. This is a hugely complicated case. One of the problems the prosecutors had was that they did not label and produce, the judge didn't allow them to then go back and label all the evidence to the specific charge. So I think it got really technical and confusing, and there was some debate inside the jury, and we'll find out more shortly, and that they couldn't get there because it was too complex, and they didn't think, and somebody had reasonable doubt that it was not right.
Brett, I want to ask you about this. His former campaign manager now found guilty on 8 counts. Again, not things relating to the president in any way, but his former campaign manager. And then you see on the same day his personal attorney pleads guilty, reports the FBI, Michael Cohen, on 8 counts as well. Is there political fallout from what you can see on both of these major developments today?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a good day if you're President Trump. I mean, no, do they... either one of these deal directly with the president in the specific cases? No. But are they people that were in the Trump orbit at some time? Yes. You know, as the campaign chairman, and more importantly, I think the Michael Cohen development. Remember, he was in the inner circle for more than a decade. And right now we're hearing that he is not cooperating with federal authorities. In other words, he's pleading guilty and ready to take the sentence, which is 3 to 5 years on these various charges, and it's happening right now in the Southern District of New York.
Right, and we'll learn more about that. I guess the real question here is if Michael Cohen doesn't wish to cooperate or has nothing to cooperate with, and you can look at it either way, does Paul Manafort, if he's going to be looking at Renato, how many years would you think he'd be looking at? Would you still be asking for more than 10 years on this?
For Paul Manafort?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, literally, it does not matter under federal sentencing if he's convicted on one count, 5, 10.
Okay.
I mean,
so
all
it could be more than 10. Would he be then cooperating, I guess, is the question. Brett, would that be a concern at the White House?
Of course. I mean, of course. I mean, these charges don't have anything to do, obviously, with the collusion allegations or the Mueller investigation. But if you have someone pinched, and remember, he's not done. He's got another trial that starts in D.C. Mm-hmm. September 17th. And we'll see how that all kind of plays itself out. But, yeah, anytime you have somebody that is on the inner workings of something and the federal authorities have hanging over their head the sword of Damocles of sentencing, you have a different situation.
All right. Brett, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Brett.
All right.
You got it.
Get back to work. I know it's a busy day over there at the Fox News Channel.
Boy,
Brett took 10 minutes out of his day
time
to
us.
Call us and tell us about this while it's actually happening, so we appreciate that. All right. Let me take a quick time out here, and then, Renato, I want to get your thoughts on
kind
of where the political fallout is here. Because from the perspective of a former federal prosecutor, if you're sitting in Robert Mueller's office today, how are you taking these two pieces of news? We'll talk about that right after Judy Pilak gives us the news headline for the top of the hour.
Paul Manafort found guilty on 8 counts. Judge declares a mistrial on 10 others.
Violetta's traffic being brought to you by Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
Tune in to the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning, and you know who will be there? Ro Khan. He's calling in, talking photography, vacations.
I'll actually be in the studio with him tomorrow.
Oh, you come on in. Talking about photography and vacations, just so you know, and a little bit of news.
I am?
Yeah, that's what you will be talking about.
I don't know if that's
according
what we'll be
to the
about.
Promo list, so keep that in mind.
All right. Let us join, already in progress, Renato Mariotti. We just had Brett Baer from the Fox News Channel on, mm-hmm. reading the verdict with us on the Paul Manafort case. And Renato Mariotti, I'm bringing America together one cable news network at a time.
How about that, Ro? Look at what you're doing.
That's what I'm
going to
do for
the
America.
Country.
These two, finally. This is interesting because Renato is still here. And Renato, we have the list of charges here in Manafort. We're going to get to that. But now, at this exact very moment, you've got in New York City, you've got Michael Cohen, the former fixer attorney for Donald Trump, pleading guilty to a series of charges. And He is he's looking at 3 to 5 years in jail time. He was asked by the judge, are you sober? He said, I did have one glass of Glenlivet last night, which, by the way, if it were me, I'd have about a bottle of Glenlivet before I went in.
He had a 12-year-old scotch, he told the judge, but yeah. He is now sober and can understand what he's doing.
Yes, and he has agreed to do that. All right, if you're Robert Mueller, what are you thinking right now?
Well, if you're Bob Mueller, you're very happy right now because you achieved a conviction of Paul Manafort. That was a person who was thumbing his nose at the Mueller investigation, was doing everything he could to throw a wrench at things, and filed motions attacking the authority of the Mueller investigation in two different jurisdictions. He went all the way to trial, and you secured a conviction. Back when I was a federal prosecutor, there was a saying, one defendant, one count. If you got a defendant guilty on one count, a serious enough count, the judge would take into account everything in the sentence, and you had a victory. So to get a conviction on eight counts is good. You got what you wanted. Cohen pleading guilty is also great. It's a great day for the Justice Department. They got a conviction without even going to trial or charging the guy. They immediately went right to a guilty plea. That's a great thing.
From what we're hearing, though, on Michael Cohen, his personal fix-it man, the personal attorney, the man with all the tapes and the evidence, you would think, we're hearing that he is not expected to reach some kind of cooperation deal with authorities, even though one of the charges he's pleading guilty to is the campaign finance violation. Mm-hmm.
All right, so what does that really mean, though? I mean, this was referred by Mueller. Cohen was referred by Mueller. This is I hate to make this more confusing than it already
sure.
is.
No, it's like,
but Mueller ended, but Michael Cohen, the attorney, ended up in this New York courtroom doing this because Mueller didn't want to take him to trial like he did Manafort. He handed it over to the federal prosecutors in the Southern District of New York, and that's the deal they came up with. Could there be more from Mueller in store for Michael Cohen?
I would be surprised. I think Michael Cohen is facing whatever charges he would be facing at this point. So if I was representing Michael Cohen, you're making a deal with the United States Justice Department. You're not negotiating with one piece of it or the other. What you want to do is you talk to them and you say, what is my client facing? What are all the potential crimes that you could charge him with? What will it take to resolve everything? You don't want to have a partial deal. Mm-hmm. So that's generally what would happen here. Regarding cooperation, which some people are like, why isn't you have a cooperation deal, you don't cooperate with a specific component of the Justice Department. Like you make a deal with one piece and not another. It's like if you signed a deal with WGN Radio. Okay, you're either an employee of WGN Radio or not. You don't just make a
worst analogy ever, counsel. We work everywhere.
Agreements, yeah.
Yeah, we have multiple agreements.
Okay, well.
but it's an interesting point that you're making. Is that you're dealing with one entity here? You're dealing with one corporate entity in some respects here,
right?
And you're dealing with the Justice Department.
You don't say, Michael Cohen could not say, well, I only want to cooperate with this person and not that person. This is not how it works. So my point is, whatever deal you come up with the Justice Department is the deal. So what I would expect is that this is the entire deal between Cohen and the Justice Department. He got, he pled guilty to these eight crimes. That's actually a lot of crimes for a plea agreement.
Mm-hmm.
Usually you make a person plead to one, maybe two or three. He doesn't have a cooperation deal at this time, which means either he doesn't want to cooperate or he didn't have enough. Let's draw a contrast between him and Paul Manafort, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have this is a dramatic day. It's like where you're in The Godfather, you have all these things happening at the end of the movie,
so
right?
True.
It's
all
the baptism scene, yeah.
During the baptism scene, okay? The president's flying to West Virginia, and here we have one guy being found guilty of eight crimes, another guy pleading guilty to eight crimes, but they have different ways of getting there. Michael Cohen made a deal up front. He saved himself millions of dollars of attorney fees. He's not fighting the Justice Department. There's no long, drawn-out trial. He doesn't have his name dragged through the mud in that trial. He just pleads guilty, gets it over with. He, quote, accepts responsibility, unquote, and to use the language of the Justice Department and the court system. On the other hand, you have Paul Manafort exercising his constitutional right to go to trial in a very aggressive way, and you have you achieve a similar result, but I suspect a significantly higher sentence in the end.
Okay, now, in terms of Michael Cohen, he's probably not going to get a pardon from Donald Trump because he's got these tapes, he's got these other things, he's already sort of said. They've already had a bit of a spat here, right?
Maybe. I mean, I'm not one to predict what Donald Trump's going to do. I think that's losing exercise.
It's a very smart move on your part. That's why why I'm asking the questions and you're answering them. But I guess the question is, well, Manafort, I mean, could the president... because the president did say nice things, which, you know, on Friday when he was heading to the helicopter to get out of town, he was, it was very sad what's happening with Paul Manafort. And I, you and a number of other people were commenting on the fact that that's pretty unprecedented, right? To have a sitting president of the United States talk about a case while the jury is still deliberating.
That's right. I mean, I do think if I was the one trying this case on the Manafort team, I would be excited. I'd be, you know, popping a bottle of champagne because they were dealing with a case where the president of the United States was speaking out against them, attacking their prosecution, praising the defendant. The defense attorneys amplified that message as best that they could. And, of course, you had a judge who was not your biggest fan, who was at times saying, making improper comments. So, and they dealt with, obviously, a very highly skilled and well-paid defense team. So, they should be patting themselves in the back.
But they got what they got.
They got, yeah.
So now, but now the question is, do they go back? Do the Manafort attorneys go back and say, let's wrap this whole thing up, the DC case and everything else, and let's try to hammer out a deal?
That's what you do in an ordinary case. But what in my opinion, the only way to explain Manafort's actions here, or the best way, is that he's trying to angle for a pardon. And so I think he may be just dragging all this along as far as he can, waiting till after the midterms, maybe till after 2020 when he gets his pardon. That's what makes the most sense to me, because a typical defendant would have pled guilty much earlier on. Now, maybe stubborn. A lot of people who commit fraud, often by their own BS, so to speak, believe that they didn't do anything wrong. So maybe that's the case. But at this point, 99 out of 100 defendants would not want to go through this experience again and not want to face another trial.
And you think he's looking at close to a decade in jail?
Yeah.
Not 500 years, counts, everybody else says.
On one count alone, he's facing a maximum of 30 years. Now, the reality is there's something called the federal sentencing guidelines that would take into account, no matter how many of these counts he's convicted of, that would encompass all of his conduct, and that would ultimately, you know, help anchor the judge's sentence.
Right, there's a point system, right?
Yeah, exactly right. But now the judge can go as low or as high as he wants. Now, Judge Ellis is an unusual guy. He seems like he's opinionated. He could give him 1 year or 2 years or 3 years. He has the discretion to do so. But I will say, if that happens, I would not expect the Mueller team not to press forward with the D.C. case. In other words, the Mueller team would not drop the D.C. case unless, you know, Manafort, there were some recommendations, you know, there were some...
Expect sentencing here.
I'm sorry?
When would we expect sentencing?
Not for several months.
Okay.
So the other case might move forward anyway, because it's mid-September is when the other separate federal charges will be brought.
Well, that's why Manafort, that's why if I was in a world where you don't expect a pardon and I was running the Manafort defense team, I'd say now's the time to make a deal. The Justice Department got their victory. They don't want to go through all this again. You never know. And we want to get all this in front of Ellis, because that guy's best chance. And the government's going to say, well, you know what? We're not going to just take that, because for all we know, Ellis will give you 3 years on both cases combined. We want a deal for that. You'll agree that you recommend or you ask for no less than 5 years or something to ensure that they're going to get a substantial sentence. But that's the sort of thing you do in an ordinary case. This is not an ordinary case, so who knows what's going to happen here. But that's the sort of machinations that you might
He's
try to do.
He's also not a young man. He's 69, so even a 10-year sentence or a 15-year sentence could be potentially a life sentence if you add up a few of these counts even and give the minimum.
Everybody knows once they turn 69, they're turning 70, they got 10 good ones left is the way they look at it.
For sure. Prison? Well, look, if you're someone like Paul Manafort, and I prosecuted and convicted people like him, wealthy, you know, people who were powerful in their own mind, had a big ego, spending 1 or 2 years in prison is a very difficult thing to go from, you know, flying around the world and having your $15,000 jacket to spending even a year or two in prison is very, very hard pill to swallow. Yeah. So this is not going to be an easy time for Manafort, no matter how much time he gets.
All right, Renato, thank you very much.
Thanks,
I know
Renato.
You're very busy today as well. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Renato, you deserve
Marietti.
A scotch, too, tonight.
Yes, that's right. Maybe Don Lemon will serve you one on CNN when you're on tonight at 9 o'clock. All right, here we go. Let's check in with Judy with the WGN News. Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Judy's got the news right now. Tom Skilling is joining us, courtesy of Permaseal Basement Systems. And Tom, before we get to you here, one of the breaking aspects of what's happened here.
Sure. Couple things going on, right?
Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah.
we have the one. The this is very interesting. In the plea deal by Michael Cohen.
Yeah.
He does admit in the plea deal that he acted in, this is a quote, in coordination and at the direction of a candidate for federal office.
Wow.
End quote. Now, we just had our legal analyst, or a legal analyst, and his CNN's legal analyst, we're not paying him, but he said, anyway, nice things to us. Renato Mariotti said that there, this was not a coordinating deal. He did not agree to plead in, to aid the government in terms of what they're doing. Can I just stop here for a second?
Yeah.
Sure.
Because I think these are the federal prosecutors now who are
speaking
addressing the
it.
Media
mm-hmm.
here.
For granting him a fair trial. Thank the jury for their very long and hard fought deliberations.
I think these are actually his attorneys, Manafort's attorneys.
Options at this point. Thank you, everyone.
Okay, those were Paul Manafort's attorneys right there in Alexandria, Virginia, thanking the jury for their hard work and not answering questions about whether or not they're going to appeal the verdict in 8 counts in Manafort. Right. This is so confusing, Tom.
It is, because you go back and forth both on 8 counts, Michael Cohen and Paul Manafort. One's his personal fix-it man, attorney guy, and then the other's his former campaign manager. But the Michael Cohen breaking news, I think what you're saying, Ro, is very interesting, because it made news that he was striking a plea agreement, but that he was not cooperating with any kind of situation with what the president might be facing charges. That was what had come out all day today. But now it's been made clear that he paid off a woman, he says, who claimed an affair at a candidate's direction for the principal purpose of influencing the election. That is part of Michael Cohen's plea deal.
Oh, wow. God.
Wow.
Now, my phone is blowing up with people who are saying, oh, well, that's it, right? No, that's not it. Nothing is it. The president admitted to Lester Holt that he was like, "I fired Comey because of that whole Russia thing," and nothing happened. This is I don't think that this is a political issue, not a legal issue for the president at the moment, unless the Democrats win both the House and the Senate. Then, if I were the president, I would be packing for Bimini. But that's not going to happen, I don't think.
Right. We'd need the House and Senate in order to do
right,
something.
Now, hold on one
charges.
Second. I don't know if we're going to get. Hold on.
The Deputy United States Attorney for the Southern District of New York.
Now, this is on Cohen.
The Attorney for the United States in this matter. With me is Bill Sweeney, Assistant Director in charge of the New York Field Office of the FBI, and James Robnett, who is the.
Right, well, he's introducing everybody. We'll listen in on this. Tom, can you sit around and listen?
Oh, I'm listening with bated breath, Ro. Yeah.
All right. Here
absolutely.
We go.
All right.
Who prosecuted the Cohen matter? I'm going to have a brief statement and will not be taking any questions.
Hmm.
Today, as you heard, Michael Cohen pled guilty to 8 felony charges. 5 of those dealt with tax evasion for the years 2012 through 2016. In which he failed to report approximately $4.1 million in reported income. Approximately 2.5 of that money was from interest payments from a personal loan that he failed to report. Approximately $1.3 million of that money was from the operation of his taxi medallion business. Approximately $100,000 of that money was from brokerage commissions, and over $200,000 was from consulting fees. That's over $4.3 million over a 5-year period, which translates into a loss to the United States Treasury of approximately $1.3 million. In addition, in count 6, Mr. Cohen pled guilty to making false statements to a financial institution in connection with an application for a home equity line of credit. In that application, he failed to disclose more than $14 million in debt that he had, and as a result of that concealment, he obtained that $500,000 line of credit, which he would not have been entitled to had he been candid and honest. In addition, Mr. Cohen pled guilty to 2 campaign finance charges, one for causing an unlawful corporate contribution, and a second one for personally making an excessive personal contribution, both for the purpose of influencing the 2016 election. In addition, what he did was he worked to pay money to silence two women who had information that he believed would be detrimental to the 2016 campaign and to the candidate and the campaign. In addition, Mr. Cohen sought reimbursement for that money by submitting invoices to the candidate's company, which were untrue and false. They indicated that the reimbursement was for services rendered for the year 2017, when in fact those invoices were a sham. He provided no legal services for the year 2017, and it was simply a means to obtain reimbursement for the unlawful campaign contribution. A couple of points I'd like to make.
Uh-oh.
First, these are very serious charges and reflect a pattern of lies and dishonesty over an extended period of time. They are significant in their own rights. They are particularly significant when done by a lawyer who, through training and tradition, understands what it means to be a lawyer, to engage in honest and fair dealing and adherence to the law. Mr. Cohen disregarded that training, disregarded that tradition, and decided that he was above the law, and for that he was going to pay a very, very serious price. With respect to the campaign finance violations, the campaign finance laws are designed to prevent the use of illegal money in elections and to maintain the integrity of those elections. Mr. Cohen made guilty pleas for those campaign violations, and those are core violations. And what he did was these pleas remind us that it is illegal for corporations to make contributions to candidates, and it is illegal to make contributions in excess of the amount that Congress set for individuals.
Oh, God.
That is a strong message today, and we will not be fear of prosecuting additional campaign finance cases. Lastly, and perhaps most importantly, this case is unique in many ways. Just witness the gathering of all of you here today. And in other ways, it's unique as well. But in the really important ways, this case is not unlike many cases that my office, the United States Attorney's Office, brings, that the entire Department of Justice brings, and that the law enforcement agencies do as well, including the FBI and the IRS. This case has more in common with all those cases because they all share the same message. And that message is that the rule of law applies, and that for law enforcement, all of whom are gathered here, it is our commitment that we will pursue and vindicate those who choose to break the law, and vindicate the majority of people who live law-abiding lives, who follow honest and fair dealing, and live lives of lawful behavior. The message is that we are here, prosecutors are here, law enforcement is here, the Department of Justice is here, the law enforcement agency is here. We are a nation of laws, and the essence of this case is about is justice, and that is an equal playing field for all persons in the eyes of the law, and that is a lesson that Mr. Cohen learned today, and it is a very harsh one for him. Thank you very much. Oh, I'm sorry. One other thing. I'm sorry. I'd also like to introduce, my fault. I really want to thank Mr. Sweeney and James Robnett of the FBI and the IRS and the agents who work for them. We do many, many cases with them, and their determination.
Okay, while they're thanking the deep state here, we'll pull away from this for the moment.
Was an interesting question that he was asked, though. I wonder why they don't identify the candidate specifically. You know, I think we presume we know who it is.
Right.
But,
it's pretty clear.
Yeah. We have an answer for us here.
Yeah.
Tom, I'm so glad you're here for this.
Yeah.
This is really good. Pat Brady, who's a former federal prosecutor and once led the Illinois Republican Party, they wouldn't have him back either, is joining us right now on the Super Celebrity Hotline. And I guess, Pat, you're going to have to explain that. Why wouldn't they go, well, it's clear that it's Donald Trump they're talking about here.
Well, I do it all the time. I can give you 10 examples of cases where they say individual A or whatever. They just don't name the name. Especially when it's the president. That makes some sense to me.
Okay.
Right, but what about this, Pat? The fact that Michael Cohen just stated under oath, basically, right, in a court, that he committed a crime at the direction of a person we know to be the president.
A candidate for federal office.
But we assume. I assume there's a lot of other candidates for federal office, but not one that fits the bill. Yeah,
so
but
not one he's the personal attorney for.
But put this in if they do that for Donald Trump, it's going to be a huge headline. I totally understand why they would do it that way.
Okay,
I think it's been
but what does this
way.
Mean, though, now?
Yeah, what does it mean?
I mean, if it is, let's assume it's Donald Trump, can they charge him with this? Can they charge Donald Trump with trying to defraud the United States by getting around the campaign finance laws and the tax laws?
Well, that's a million-dollar question, because the issue of charging the sitting president was briefed and argued in the Nixon case, but they never ruled on it. And there is actually a Justice Department policy that says you're not supposed to indict a sitting president. There's an argument you can. Now, could they, the charge, and again, with just a little bit of facts we have here, it'd be like a 371 conspiracy, a charge to defraud the United States, the underlying elements being to evade campaign finance laws or whatever. So, yeah. You could see in these facts where it would fit in, but we're a long way from there. And I'm not sure, does this pertain to what exactly it pertains to?
It does. You know what? Hold on one second. We're going to come back to you. Can we come back to you? Because we're going to get you all the briefing on this, because he explained that. This is about the payment to Stormy Daniels and to the other woman, her name is now escaping me.
Karen McDougal.
But this is not Russia related.
This is related to someone's zipper. So hold on one second. We're gonna get. We'll come back to you on this. But let's get him briefed on what this lawyer just said, because he was on hold while that was going on. We're not sure he was able to hear it. Tom.
Yes, Ro.
This is quite a moment.
It is
in American history here that we're watching today.
Yes, it is.
So
it kind of pushes the weather into the background, doesn't it?
All right, just very quickly, because we're gonna.
I will tell you two things. One, we have a hurricane bearing down on Hawaii, which is unusual, and they've got hurricane watches up for all the islands except Kauai at this point.
Hawaii is having quite a year.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
And yet, you know, the volcano is quieted down. I mean, it's gone dormant.
That ruins my Christmas vacation.
Ro was going to go visit there.
Well,
he wanted to see it.
I know. They continue to say, hang on, because it may not be gone for good.
And, so you got a hurricane there. When's it supposed to hit?
In the next couple of days. Right. The hurricane for the tropical storm or greater winds will be into the Big Island tomorrow. By Thursday. And
it's bearing down on the island of Hawaii, not the entire state.
Well, it's bearing down on the whole chain, because what's going to happen is the thing is sitting southeast of Hilo by about 500 miles now. It's going to curve northward and therefore bring hurricane force winds and flash flooding rains to virtually all the islands. And that would be waves up to 30 feet.
That's a big deal, especially Honolulu, because it's so low lying.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
We've got a warning here about our waves nowhere near 30 feet, but I know there's a swimming advisory as well.
There is. Yeah, the lake is going to be wind-tossed right on through the day tomorrow, so they have one of these beach hazard statements out. And another thing, we had incredible rains here to held up the Pearl Jam concert. We had flooding. But what happened last night west of Madison was amazing. They had local 15 and 16-inch rains up there.
Wow.
This is like the second major rain event of that magnitude, or close to it, that's hit in the last week. So you can imagine what the state of the rivers is in that area.
Is it going to rain tonight?
There could be sprinkles. Nothing to worry about on the terms of the game, you know?
Yeah, we're worried about Michael Kopech. It's Kopech night, or as I call it, Sandy Kopech.
Right.
He's like Sandy Koufax to me.
Nope.
This is the biggest thing that could possibly happen.
Exactly, and the weather will not be an issue. And,
all right, cannot wait to see this kid tonight.
Yeah, a lot of people interested in that. And, and I'll tell you, some beautiful weather the next couple of days.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tom.
Your beloved heat and humidity are back over the weekend.
Great.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's all right.
Thanks.
See you guys.
Thanks,
I'll be listening.
Thank you, my friend.
You have a lot to talk about. Yeah. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Tom. All right. Right now, let's check in with Judy and find out what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
An illegal immigrant charged in the Molly Tibbetts case in Iowa.
All right. Violetta? Concho with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
What a day.
President has just landed in Charleston, West Virginia, where he is going to be making a speech coming up.
He will.
And God knows what he's going to say. Wait, hold on. He is speaking right now. Let me see if we have this.
This has nothing to do with what they started out looking for Russians involved in our campaign. There were none. I feel very badly for Paul Manafort. Again, he worked for Bob Dole. He worked for Ronald Reagan. He worked for many, many people. And just the way it ends up. And it was not the original mission, believe me. It was something very much different. So, had nothing to do with Russian collusion. We continue the witch hunt. Thank you very much.
Mr. President, what about Michael Cohen? Sorry, Cohen. Any comment on Michael Cohen?
Guys, we got to move. Come on.
That is the president. You hear Air Force One there in the background.
Right.
He's walked away. They're putting him into the big limousine with the big refrigerator door right now.
Locking him in there. He
Commenting on Michael Cohen, who Michael Cohen has pleaded guilty to 8 counts in New York separately to 8 counts in one count. He pleaded guilty to acting in coordination and at the direction of a candidate for federal office.
Right. Tax evasion, making false statements to banks were some of the charges, but that campaign finance violation is one tagged on, and obviously a reference to his boss or the guy he worked for as an attorney is Donald Trump.
Pat president. Brady joins us. You hear him on this radio station quite a bit. He is a political analyst because he now works in the world of politics. So this is you're the perfect guy to ask about this, but you're a former federal prosecutor. Mm-hmm. So as a political matter for the president, does he have an issue here that his lawyer has pleaded guilty to working with that corporation? Now, he says not just the president, but a corporation owned by this federal candidate for office submitted a falsified invoice to be paid back, to pay Michael Cohen back for the money he paid to Stormy Daniels and to, why does her name keep escaping me?
Karen McDougal. Other one was actually paid for by the National Enquirer's parent company, but that money, where it came from.
So that invoice is the question is, that's a false invoice designed to hide the fact that this was a political donation to keep her quiet in advance of the 2016 election. Now the big question here is the Southern District of New York prosecutor walked out on the courthouse steps just minutes ago and said this does not preclude us from going after the corporation, the candidate's corporation, his company, for filing this. What does that mean?
Corporations are deemed people under the eyes of the law, so you can indict a corporation. You typically don't do it because there's no bang for the buck, but yeah, you can indict corporations. You just shut it down.
It's the president's corporation. That's a little different.
It is.
It's not just
it's kind of like, here's you're asking the political question. I don't think it hits him. Everybody, we saw the Access Hollywood tape. We know the hooker stuff. Does it hurt him political? Probably not. I mean, yeah, there's some legal jeopardy I could certainly see, but politically, what else could you hear that we haven't already heard?
Well, what is the legal jeopardy there? If he's saying that he acted, that this candidate acted in coordination with and at the direction of that these payments, this hush money payments were put out, and that that's a campaign of a finance violation, what is the legal impact for the president?
Well, sir, I mean, they have to look at whether or not there's enough there and whether the ends of justice dictate that you indict the sitting president of the United States. It seems like there's a lot of evidence, and certainly that was confirmed by Cohen's plea today, but they got to make a call on whether it's a big enough shot to indict the president. And that's the call they're going to have to make. This is a Southern District case, too. It's not a Mueller case.
Right.
All right, so let's go back to Manafort here for a second, because the president just said he's very sad. You know, they went after Manafort. This has nothing to do with the Russians. They do with the Russians, and somehow they, you know, they end up here, and it's mission creep is what the president is alluding to here by the Mueller team, that they got him on all these other things that go back to. I mean, it clearly, you know, jury found him guilty of bank fraud and the other frauds along the way here that are not related to the Trump campaign, but related to him trying to hide foreign money. And right. They found him guilty on all those charges. So,
but those were the superseding indictments, which more related, at least timing-wise, to his time with the Trump campaign.
So now the question is, does Donald Trump try, and Manafort's still awaiting trial in the District of Columbia on more charges. He's looking at, even based on what he's been convicted of today, he's looking at potentially a decade in prison. Depending on how this judge decides to rule, does Donald Trump try to get him? Does he pardon him?
I don't think he can pardon him politically. I don't think he can. I think he'd really have an outrage even on both sides.
And he pardons him by 10 o'clock tonight. I think he pardons him actually
in West Virginia.
West Virginia campaign rally. I think he pardons him.
Just for an applause line.
And maybe you're right on that. His what he said coming off the plane, this has nothing to do with Russia witch hunt. Maybe you're right. Maybe he says this is a miscarriage of justice. I'm gonna pardon him.
Yeah. I know we're speculating here, but if that were to go further like that, I mean, what? Right? I mean, is there anything that shakes loose the confidence in the president of those who have already made a faith-like commitment to him?
It almost strengthens their commitment to him, because the whole thing is poking your eye at the man. And these are people that think the system is rigged, everything's bad, and he's fighting bad system. When you can take the FBI, which are mainly Republicans, and somehow make rational people think that they're engaged in some conspiracy to take down Donald Trump, I mean, you've accomplished a lot from a PR perspective. Is it terrible for the country? Absolutely. But he pardoned Arpaio. I mean, all these people. Nobody pardons like this. You don't do it till the end of your term. And real, there's some bad examples. Clinton did, but this is not what the pardon power is all about.
No.
It goes back to the Revolutionary War, why they wanted the president to have pardon power.
Pat, let me ask you: when his personal attorney and fix-it man, when they first raided his office, his home, his hotel room, and seized tapes and all this stuff, everyone believed that this was the path to the president, that Bob Mueller was going to involve, that somehow this was the way to find something on the president. Do you still believe that today? Do you think that there still is a line to the president here that they're searching for through Michael Cohen or not?
Well, I mean, there's clearly a line, and we saw it today. There is a line to what the Stormy Daniels and McDougal payoffs were all about. It was to shut them all up before the middle of the campaign.
Is that enough, though, to go after the president?
I don't think so. I've said all along, maybe people don't agree, but it's got to be Russia collusion stuff that really impacts the integrity of the country, not this stupidity with hookers and...
Right. Porn stars.
Sorry, hookers.
And a Playboy playmate, okay?
Right, playmates
right?
And porn stars.
It's different.
Well, I mean, listen, I mean, you know, Clinton, that's the decision that the Senate came to in 1999, right, was that didn't rise to the level of an impeachable, to throw a guy out of office, right?
Well, but the line was the thing that I think bothered me at the time was he lied under oath and got caught. And back in the day when it mattered what the president did, most people thought that was outrageous. But the standard has so changed.
Right. And it started then. I mean, that's one of the reasons that the gates to hell opened up when it was Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump. Because there was really no good way out of this for America.
No. That's right.
Because the parties had sent forward these two deeply flawed and people who are not very close, they have all bad relationships with the truth, and America needs a fresh start here at some point where we get back to the core essential values of what makes America America. And I am so sick and tired of people going America first. This should be American first. I'm an American first. This is all about America first. We need to do what is right by our core values. And going back, I'm going to put on a three-cornered hat. I mean, whatever happened to the Tea Party? The Tea Party now went like nuts here, going the other way. They don't care about those people who were marching with the three-cornered hats in 2010. They that have fallen now with Donald Trump. They've given up on the Constitution, right?
Well, in the long-term impact, I don't know what it's going to be, but it's all bad. All the institutions that are important to a democracy, the press, the judiciary, the Congress, have been at some point attacked by this guy. All this.
Right.
And and listen, we've been doing this forever. You look back at history of presidents and what they say, nobody has done this stuff.
No.
It's just, I get it. People support him. I like some of the policies, but it's so over the line now. It's just ridiculous.
All right. Now you got to go back and I know you're working on other candidates, right? And you got to write some lies for them to go tell. So
No.
Pat Brady doesn't tell lies.
You get your hookers and everything lined up before you open up your committee.
Right, thank you, Pat.
Oh my gosh! What is happening in the world?
I don't know. All I know is that Sandy Kopech is going to be pitching for the White Sox. We're going to talk to Steve Stone about that for a little diversion. 5 minutes of diversion from this, and then back to it. Coming up right after Judy tells us what's coming up at the top of the hour.
President Trump says he feels very badly for Paul Manafort, but it doesn't involve him.
Okay. How about Violetta? Does it involve her?
I hope not.
Karen Conti, among the legal analysts, joining the Steve Cochran Show tomorrow morning. She'll be on at 6:40. The latest on the Manafort guilty verdict, Michael Cohen, and the Mueller probe as well.
Yeah, nothing to see here.
Nothing to talk about on the legal front.
All right, I want to talk about someone else for just 2 minutes here, if I can, because this is very important. Steve Stone is with us. Steve Stone on Baseball, brought to you by Let Us Entertain You Restaurants.
Certainly today it was Ramen-san. Very good day today.
Oh, love Ramen-san.
Yes. It was a noodle day today.
Yes.
Excellent.
That's right.
Gloomy weather. You need some noodles.
Yeah. And there's two Ramen-san locations, by the way. Just in case you're wondering.
There's one on West Loop.
One on Hubbard and one on Green Street in the West Loop.
I was just at the Green Street location, and it is phenomenal.
Their pork belly sandwich.
Yep. Mm. Couldn't be better. And I think that general manager they got there is the best in all
of business. Wait a minute. You know him, don't you? I think he's your son-in-law?
All right. Got to go.
Okay.
Steve, let's talk about who I'm referring to. This guy is Sandy Kopech. I've got that much hope tonight. You know how many ticket requests I got for tonight's game? From friends who are like, hey, you going to the game tonight? And I am going to the game tonight because I really want to see Michael Kopech make his major league debut. This is a guy that since they got him from Boston in that trade that sent Chris Sale away, the Sox fans have been waiting a long time to see him.
They certainly have, and they're going to be excited to see him. And if he throws anything like he did the last seven games in the minor leagues, it's going to be something to watch because the last seven games, he struck out 59, walked only four guys in seven games. That's a radical departure from what we saw at the beginning of the season. But this is a young, very hard-throwing guy who at times has had some control issues. But I emphasize young. He is very young. And so he seemed to work out his control issues in the minor leagues. Hopefully that's the guy we see here tonight. He's got a wonderful mound opponent. Minnesota has a young pitcher by the name of Barrios who seems to throw very well against our Sox. He's his mound opponent tonight, so it should be a wonderful matchup.
Wow. It's very exciting. We talked about it before, there's an energy to all of this. But the question I think a lot of inside baseball people have about this is if they bring him up now, the clock starts, right, on his contract?
Yes.
So does that hurt? Why would the Sox do this with any of their rookies if they're going to lose a year of eligibility on the other end?
Well, I think they realize from a pitching standpoint, it's pretty tough to keep a guy consistently healthy and at the top of his game over the course of 6+ years. And that's really what they have as far as Kopech is concerned. So I think they felt that he had accomplished everything he wanted to accomplish. And the Sox have said the same thing about Jimenez and Kopech both. They will keep him in the minor leagues until they have gotten the requisite amount of hitters faced or pitches faced, and then when they've shown they've done everything the minor leagues can teach them, they'll bring them up to the major leagues. And so it's held true with Kopech. I think it's going to hold true with Eloy Jimenez. And so we'll just have to see exactly how that plays out. But right now, a lot of fans who are very interested in the Chicago White Sox are really interested in this game tonight. I think it's wildly entertaining, and I think there's a whole lot of us looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think his first strike, that crowd is going to go insane.
Yep. Insane. They will.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
So much fun. So much fun. All right. I know with all the other breaking news of the day, have fun tonight. Thank you so much for being with us. Thanks for holding short with us here, too, as we were trying to get all the other news of the day in. So, thanks.
There's been a whole lot of it today, this just being a small part of it. And have a good rest of the show, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Yeah, we'll see you tonight.
Thank you, Steve.
All right, there he goes. All right,
bye.
Steve Stone. All right. Am I ahead of myself by calling him Sandy Kopech? Am I?
I'm surprised that already hasn't caught on with the White Sox fan base. You might be the pioneer on the Sandy Kopech nickname.
That's right.
There.
First to call.
You're ahead of Hawk Harrelson on that. You're ahead of the whole White Sox world, Ro. I think you can claim that one.
First to rename Rokan. Yeah. It's first to call him Sandy Kopech.
Mm-hmm. I'm like the president.
All catching on.
I got nicknames for everybody.
I like that.
You're Sandy Kopech tonight. Go out there and prove it. No pressure.
It's all good.
Let's do this. We got to stop down because we've got WGN News coming your way in 2 minutes, and there's a lot of it. I have both Blackhawks and Sox tickets to give away before we're all said and done here in my hand.
Nice.
Anna, I want you to look at my hand right here.
I can't see your hands because they're always modded. No, you really do. Sometimes you say in my hot little hands, and I wonder, do you really? You have Sox tickets in your right hand right now.
That's what I do. I'm going to give those away. I have Blackhawks tickets to a regular season game of your choice.
Tickets went on sale yesterday.
Yeah. How about that? That's something. I'm going to give those away coming up.
It's Ticket Tuesday.
It's Ticket Tuesday, Violetta.
Two for Tuesday. Isn't that also another one?
That is so right, little lady.
I've learned from the best.
Two for Tuesday and Ticket Tuesday. We got Sox. We got... What was the other one?
The Hawks.
Hawks.
Gee.
Taco Tuesday.
It's also two for Tuesday in terms of indictments.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Turns out that's true. Mm-hmm. Manafort and Michael Cohen.
Got a pair of indictments for you.
Coming your way later this hour. Pair of indictments. It's a family four-pack, really, if you want to think about it. Unless, of course, you're Michael Cohen or Paul Manafort.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, thanks. Thank what's his name?
Yeah, we'll thank him later.
Cheesy DJ who just passed out after that.
Doesn't have to work for one day.
All right. We got a top five here. Oh, my gosh. We got so much going on. I don't even know where to begin.
So many moving parts.
Let's see. Oh, this is from Rudy Giuliani.
He just has a statement?
I just received a statement from Rudy Giuliani.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it.
Now, hold on a second. Do we have Rudy in the top five here? Do we have from last night? No. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to do this as part of the top five.
Nice.
All right.
Roll it all together.
Wait, let me see what else is in the top five. Can this be a 5.1 or will this kind of work out?
Could be.
Yeah. This is what we're going to work at. We're going to work this out because I got the Rudy Giuliani statement right here. We're going to ad-lib part of the top five here because there's so much going on.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right, checking in at
number five.
Last night, I'm just going to start with this.
Okay.
Last night, on the television, Rudy Giuliani, this was on Fox, said this.
Any criminal charges against Mr. Cohen would deal a significant blow to the president, would it?
No. You know what it would do? It would kind of indicate they don't want his cooperation or they don't think he's telling the truth right now. Because you don't, if you've got a good working relationship with a person who's going to be your witness, they don't just bang them with an indictment. You work out a charge so that they can plead and get a break.
Except they worked out that charge. He pleaded. It's unclear what kind of break he's actually getting. But in his plea today,
mm-hmm.
in his plea, he implicated the president in campaign finance violations.
He absolutely did. He said that it was done in court. The payoff to the hush money to the women, Karen McDougal and Stormy Daniels, was in coordination with and at the direction of a candidate for federal office.
Here we go.
What he did was he worked to pay money to silence two women who had information that he believed would be detrimental to the 2016 campaign and to the candidate and the campaign. In addition, Mr. Cohen sought reimbursement for that money by submitting invoices to the candidate's company, which were untrue and false. They indicated that the reimbursement was for services rendered for the year 2017, when in fact those invoices were a sham. He provided no legal services for the year 2017, and it was simply a means to obtain reimbursement for the unlawful campaign contribution.
I think that's the one that's going to sting the most for the president today. So you've got guilty counts against both inner circle members of the president's inner circle.
Oh, we'll get to Manafort in a second. Let's stick with Cohen, because is the one that's really going to sting here.
But that's just it. That's the one. That is the one, because you separate them out and say, well, you can say, well, this has nothing to do with me. This one has everything to do with the president.
Not according to Rudy Giuliani, who has just released this statement to WGN, and I have it in my hand.
Okay, let's hear it.
There is no allegation of any wrongdoing against the president in the government's charges against Mr. Cohen. It is clear that, as the prosecutor noted, Mr. Cohen's actions reflect a pattern of lies and dishonesty over a significant period of time.
So they're trying to paint him out to be like a Gates character. Somebody who goes rogue and is a liar, cheater. But I mean, what the feds are saying is that he sought reimbursement from the Trump company, sent faulty, like false invoices to the company.
Right, Dad, just right.
Yeah. For services rendered, and they said there were no services rendered.
No. The company sent a false invoice. Right? The date on this and the company's reimbursement was for knowingly reimbursing a false invoice. And that would be the Trump corporation.
That's right. After Cohen had paid the hush money.
Right.
He tried to create invoices for services rendered that weren't rendered, that were paid for by the company. They
right.
paid it.
Yeah. Now, all I'm going to say is, now this is what Michael Avenatti, who it turns out,
is running for
who
president.
Knew this guy was going to cause this kind of trouble, and now he's going to run for president, which he shouldn't be doing, because he says this.
Well, let me be clear about something, and I think you need to make it clear to your viewers that regardless of whether the documentation today formally includes a cooperation agreement, that does not mean that there is not cooperation that's ongoing, nor does it mean that there will not be significant cooperation on a go-forward basis. I want to be really clear about that. But there is no doubt in my mind, zero doubt in my mind, that Michael Cohen is cooperating and is going to further cooperate in connection with information that's going to be damaging to this president.
Well, he just did. Thank you, Michael Avenatti. Just did.
Well, and Michael Cohen's attorney tweeted out in the last half hour. Today, his client stood up and testified under oath that Donald Trump directed him to commit a crime by making those payments to the two women.
That's Michael Cohen's attorney.
That's right.
Saying that.
For the principal, not Avenatti, that's Michael Cohen's attorney, Lanny Davis, saying it was for the principal purpose of influencing the election. And then he further asks the question, if those payments were a crime for Michael Cohen, then why wouldn't they be a crime for Donald Trump?
I'm not even halfway through number five right now.
because
Alexandria, Virginia, the prosecutors came out. And the defense attorneys came out, and the jury showed up and found guilty Paul Manafort on 8 counts of bank fraud. Now, you could say, well, on 10 counts, they couldn't come to a decision. That is hardly a win. Because what they did come to a decision was 5 counts of tax fraud and 3 counts of hiding foreign money. Now, Trump says that had nothing to do with him. We're going to get to that in a second, but here are the attorneys.
You may have heard that the jury reached a verdict on only 8 of the 18 counts. On 10 of those counts, they did not reach a verdict. Mr. Manafort is disappointed of not getting acquittals all the way through.
He should be.
A complete hung jury on all counts. However, he would like to thank Judge Ellis for granting him a fair trial. Thank the jury for their very long and hard-fought deliberations. He is evaluating all of his options at this point. Thank you, everyone.
Evaluating all his options at this point. Once again, Mr. President.
Damn it!
All right.
He's likely, according to most legal analysts, including Renato Mariotti, who appeared on this show earlier today, that he'll likely get a lengthy sentence connected to even the 8 counts out of the 18.
Even Brett Baer from the Fox News Channel, who also appeared on the show today, said, this looks like a long time for Paul Manafort.
Yeah.
Number 4.
So here's the president just moments ago after landing in Charleston, West Virginia.
Has nothing to do what they started out looking for Russians involved in our campaign. There were none. I feel very badly for Paul Manafort. Again, he worked for Bob Dole. He worked for Ronald Reagan. He worked for many, many people. And this is the way it ends up. It was not the original mission, believe me. It was something very much different. So, had nothing to do with Russian collusion. We continue the witch hunt. Thank you very much.
Then they were asking about Michael Cohen. What about Michael Cohen?
He didn't answer those questions.
Yes, he walked away from that. He is going to speak in West Virginia. That is going to be must-hear event a little bit later on tonight.
Yeah, it'll be fascinating to see.
Around
what
6
he
o'clock.
Talks
we'll
about.
Try to take some of that around 6 o'clock if we can. I'm promising a lot of things today. I don't know if I can get any of them done. We'll get to your 3, your 2, and your 1. We'll try that. But first, Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
President Trump says the witch hunt continues as his ex-campaign manager is convicted and his personal lawyer pleads guilty.
All right, Violetta.
Don't miss Chicago Tribune's first ever night market. Enjoy food, fun, and entertainment August 24th through the 26th. Learn more. Visit ctfoodbowl.com/night market.
All right. There we go. All right. Checking in at
number 3.
Madonna, last night, I know this is not related to the president or anything else, but I must play. There was such stupidity that happened last night in the world of entertainment.
Can't be overlooked.
I must play it. Madonna was at the MTV Video Music Awards.
She was.
They don't even really have played videos anymore, so I don't know why they still do the awards, but whatever. And Aretha Franklin died. I don't know if you heard that last week.
We did. Very sad.
And so they asked her to do a tribute to Aretha Franklin. And she made it all about herself.
Aretha Louise Franklin changed the course of my life. Some skinny-ass white girl is going to come up here and belt out a song by one of the greatest soul singers that ever lived. I said, bitch, I'm Madonna. In 1984, this is where the first VMAs were, and on my way down, I lost a shoe, and my dress flew up, and my butt was exposed. After the show, my manager said my career was over. Lol.
Lol? Is that LOL? Is that what she means?
I think so.
Is that what she means by lol?
Yeah.
Lol.
People upset she made it all about her.
Right. I'm discussing myself now, because the Queen of Soul is dead. And it's really not about me, so I'm going to make it about me.
Awkward.
Oh, God. All right, checking in at
number 2.
You need fooling. Baby, I'm not fooling. I'm going to sit here. Back to schooling.
Robert Plant is 70 years old today. 70. And Robert Plant, and he's, think about, you know, the front men, they all seem to live. I don't know how they all lived.
Don't they?
The drummers all died, but the front men lived.
And they all seem to live, you know, they live their lives. And yet, they live a long life.
And Keith Richards has lived, but but that's by, I think he, by sucking the blood of other humans is how he's done it.
I don't know what he does. He doesn't, all these accidents, he doesn't seem to ever really get injured.
So we go back to, so what is, what's the secret? And will Led Zeppelin ever get back together? This is Robert Plant from a press conference a couple of years ago.
I think that night back then, we were just hanging on for dear life, watching each other, and those expressions of working together were just, we were so happy that we were actually getting it right and really enjoying it and taking it beyond what we thought we were about that night. There were moments in it where we just took off and pushed off into some place. The responsibility of doing that four nights a week for the rest of time is a different thing.
Oh, so no. I guess the answer to that is no. No. I'm 70. I'm not doing it.
We should also wish Sister Jean a happy 99th, by the way.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Loyola basketball, Cinderella story fame, and just the heart and soul of that university.
And legendary bobblehead.
She is.
Is what she's also. All right, and finally.
Number one.
So wait, so Sister Jean, let's see, she's 99, he's 70. So she would have been 29. I wonder what she's doing on her 29th birthday. And then the front man from Led Zeppelin, the greatest front man maybe in the history of rock and roll. I would make that argument. Robert Plant is born. Just think about that. And she's, you know, she's blowing out candles, you know, 29 candles of, at the, you know, at the nunnery or wherever she is, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. And then
think she was thinking about him?
Yeah. No, I don't think so. Just to think about
that.
She
went to a concert?
Maybe. She seems like she might be down with the rock and the roll. I don't know.
Getting the lead up. Sister Jean.
Why not?
Stairway to Seven coming up. let's see. While presenting at the 2018 MTV Video Awards, we already mentioned those. Kevin Hart also made a goof out of himself. He told the audience that they were allowed to kneel. In a reference, I'm supposing, to the NFL controversy.
I'm looking at this like it's game day, people. But do not worry, because at this game, you guys are allowed to kneel. You can do whatever the hell you want. There's no old white man that can stop you. Do it.
Okay. No rules at the VMAs.
Right.
That show, by the way, is awful.
Let me just say
something. Watched a chunk of it last night. Oh, my goodness.
Let me just say, you can watch that and feel really messed up about the culture. And then, you know, and say, well, thank God for Donald Trump. Or a guy like me can watch that and go, Kevin Hart, what are you doing? Don't do it. And Madonna, what are you doing? Don't do that. And then at the same time, I can also be all pumped up about Donald Trump. Don't do that. Where does a guy like me? What do I get out of this? I think they're all nuts. I'm making it about myself like Madonna. But
yeah,
still.
I see what you did there.
All right, let's just close this up. I have to rethink everything.
The top five at five.
Somebody who is not a winner today, one might argue. Well, I know two people immediately who are not winners. Paul Manafort, not a winner.
Yeah, right.
He, even though he won 10-8 in this case, Mike Monaco, that is not a win.
Yeah, if sometimes when juries compromise, you know, they say, well, I'm not going to find him guilty of this, but I'll find him guilty of that. Eight counts is a guilty verdict. There's two counts. One count is a guilty verdict. If you're convicted of one count, you could go to jail. This is eight, and there's a high probability he's going to go to jail unless he gets pardoned.
So, but and it would be a pretty lengthy sentence, would you imagine, for eight counts?
I would assume he's got he's looking at 7 or 8 years in jail.
Mm-hmm.
I would say.
They'll ask for, the federal government will ask for a dime. They'll ask for 10 in the, yeah. the judge. Yeah. But now the judge.
I love when you use those expressions.
The judge, he sits in your office and he learns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In your waiting room.
The waiting room.
Exactly.
Waiting room guys go, hey, I hope I don't get a dime.
You're like, oh. Yeah.
If you don't want a dime, call Monaco. That is the, that's how that goes. It's possible that Manafort will be pardoned here.
That's possible.
Right?
Sure.
And it's also possible that this judge, because the judge has been, you know, fairly even-handed here, and generally in court cases like this. You don't always get judges that are as defense oriented as this judge has
been. Absolutely. This judge has been bent over backwards helping the defense.
So maybe gives him 1-3. He could do it.
Could give him less than 7 or 8. Sure, yeah, absolutely.
On 8 counts, is that possible?
Yeah, absolutely possible.
Each count, some of them carry.
Probation is possible.
One of the counts carries up to 30 years. A couple are up to 3, and a couple up to 5.
But no, there are no mandatory minimums.
Right.
So, there's one little problem, though.
Yeah.
What's the
Manafort's
problem?
Due back in court in 3 weeks in
September.
Washington, D.C.
Oops, another case. Yeah. That's going to be long. That'd be tough. Right? That'll be tough to try that case right after this thing.
Right. Well, tough for whom?
But for him and the lawyers. It's going to be very difficult. It'll be very stressful for him. And so we'll see what... if he reaches out to the president to try to get the pardon right away.
Now, if you were his lawyer, would you reach out to the federal government, try to wrap all of this up and come up with an agreeable sentence to Washington and Alexander, what he just got convicted of today in the Washington case?
That would make sense if he did not have the pardon possibilities.
What was he talking about? His lawyer, when he says we're considering our options.
Options. Whether they go to trial or not go to trial at the next trial. There's another trial coming up, as Roe says, in September, in D.C. And is he going to go to trial in that case or not, or will he plead guilty? He may, he's not going to cooperate. It doesn't sound like he's going to cooperate.
How is lawyers going to get paid here? That's the thing I'm most concerned about, because Mike taught me that. Always the lawyers get paid.
That's the most important rule. I think he's not broke. I think he's got a lot of money left
Sounds
over.
Sounds like he's got some offshore, which is the problem.
He's got money left
it's
over.
It's not the legit bank accounts.
Foreign bank accounts.
Anybody, are there any one-way direct flights to Cyprus that I could get on?
Yeah. And then Mr. Cohen pled guilty today.
Oh,
my God.
Whose show is this, Mike?
What a big day.
Whose show? Is it your show or my show?
Yeah.
All right. Anna.
I'm just round for a ride.
Yeah. All right. Stand by. I don't want to get too far away from this. At what point, if you were to anticipate a pardon for Paul Manafort, at what point would you anticipate it coming?
Well, you would think after the second trial, but he could do it now. He could pardon him today for the next case. Doesn't have to pardon him.
That is correct. He will do it in
before
Charleston, West Virginia tonight at the rally.
He may. That's that'll be newsworthy.
What odds shall be given to me for this? But I firmly believe the president is so over his head right now that this is the only way out.
Yeah.
Just pardon everybody and just hope that his core holds.
Absolutely.
And just
I think
keep
that's
telling
true.
Him, hey, it wasn't me.
It wasn't
These
me.
People, it wasn't, it's the deep state, it's the federal government, it's the FBI, it's the Justice Department, it's Mueller, it's this Comey, it's all these bad guys I've been telling you about. They're all colluding and they're the criminals.
Yeah,
But to do that, doesn't he have to then take, and that's Jeff Sessions too, that little guy. He's going to have to take them all into custody. I mean, how is he going to get around this?
It's funny what he said over the weekend that he could, yesterday, he said, I could be in charge. I could put myself in charge of the investigation if I wanted to.
Well, maybe he does
boy.
That.
I think that one would cause the most political outrage.
Don't see Republicans.
Nothing.
I don't see Republicans reacting to that.
Nothing.
Are there Republicans in Congress, in the House, and in the Senate reacting to that?
He's in charge of the investigation.
Totally filled with fear.
I think that would cross a major line.
I don't know.
Oh, sure. Oh,
a major line that they could not allow.
Can you name all the other major lines we've crossed so far?
There have been many, but that's constitutional crisis of epic proportions.
Well, I do remember Nixon. I was in the U.S. Attorney's Office when during the Saturday Night Massacre, and that we were shaking our heads. I can't believe
they're shaking their heads in justice every day.
Yeah, now
poor
today.
Jeff Sessions. I never thought I'd say those words. Poor Jeff Sessions. He sits there every day going, what, Mama? Why did I take this job?
Could have just been a senator. It was a great job.
I should have never left the Senate.
Alabama's such a nice place.
Right, and he was jumping up and down for Trump at all those rallies.
Oh, first one.
He was
one.
The first guy in.
First guy in.
Most loyal guy.
Had that hat on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then because he followed the law and recused himself, he's a criminal. He's an enemy of the state. Do you see, my friends, what is happening here? He will turn on you, too. The people who stand and they go to the... There are as the president likes to say, good people on both sides, who will be at the rally tonight wearing the red hats and bringing their kids and standing there and applauding at all of this. And eventually he's going to come for you.
Yeah.
He eventually will come for you.
Yeah.
He is not a loyal guy. Look what just happened here. Look at Michael Cohen. We'll get to Michael Cohen in just a second, because Michael Cohen implicates the president in a federal crime today while he pleads guilty.
Right.
We'll explain that. But first, Judy, what's happening at the top of the hour? I already know, but say it anyway.
No, here's a new one for you. More problems for the former Lake County board president.
Okay. You want to go there?
I didn't say it was a better story. I just said it was a new story.
Yeah, okay.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
That's going to keep me tuned in. Illinois really? Department of Transportation bringing in the traffic with Violetta.
Sorry, we also want to promote the Steve Cochran Show. Tomorrow morning, listen in. Dean Richards proclaimed Jennifer Lopez the winner of the night of the VMAs. Tune in tomorrow at 8:10 to hear who he's loving next.
All right.
I think A-Rod was kind of the winner there. Doing all the right things for his woman. A lot of women very happy about that.
Let's talk about Michael Cohen. Michael Monaco is with us. He is not Michael Cohen, but he is an attorney at law here in Chicago. Michael Cohen is a former attorney in New York City who is now going to the pokey for anywhere from 3 to 5 years after pleading guilty today. But he pleaded guilty to all kinds of, you know, tax and bad business kind of operations, fraudulent deals. He's a fraudster. He's a tax evader. But the U.S. attorney from the Southern District of New York stood in front of the microphones and said this.
What he did was he worked to pay money to silence two women who had information that he believed would be detrimental to the 2016 campaign and to the candidate and the campaign. In addition, Mr. Cohen sought reimbursement for that money by submitting invoices to the candidate's company, which were untrue and false. They indicated that the reimbursement was for services rendered for the year 2017, when in fact those invoices were a sham. He provided no legal services for the year 2017, and it was simply a means to obtain reimbursement for the unlawful campaign contribution.
Now that's interesting, because he could say that, well, Trump knew exactly why I was paying that money.
Mm-hmm.
He approved my paying that money, so it was really more of a aiding and abetting Trump in doing that than doing it himself.
So he would have to, though, testify at some point. They say he's not cooperating at the moment, but
yes,
the cooperation would then be on this particular account. That the cooperation would be that Donald Trump told him to do that.
This is what I did. This is why I did it. But then
he also, they also in his pleading today said that he worked at the direction of an individual running for federal office.
The candidate, right. He's talking about Trump. And this is going to be directly linked to Trump. Now,
you sure he is not talking about Ben Carson?
No.
Okay.
Now, the other thing is, you know, they say he's not cooperating.
Because that's the guy they'll throw into the bus.
He no longer has his Fifth Amendment now. On any of these issues, he has no Fifth Amendment privilege. So the government can call him in the grand jury and ask him all these questions about what happened.
And I think he'd be happy to talk. His attorney, Lanny Davis, has been tweeting up a storm this afternoon in the last hour. He's saying Michael Cohen took the step today so his family can move on to the next chapter. This is Michael Cohen fulfilling his promise to put his family and country first and tell the truth about Donald Trump. Indicating,
oh, Lord!
Yeah, well, it's
okay. Now what happens?
He's going to be sentenced, and before he gets sentenced, we'll see if Trump tries to pardon him. Now, this is where I don't think he has the right to pardon somebody involved in a crime with him. This is, we talked about this once before,
mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a close case. But I don't think
so. Manafort, he can pardon based on what's happened here, because
yes,
none of that rises to the level of the Trump campaign.
Yes. Yes.
But Michael Cohen, he's a co-conspirator.
He's a co-conspirator. I don't think he has the... I don't think under the law you're entitled to pardon people who are involved
law?
With you, the
who
Constitution.
The law? The president is all-powerful.
Yeah, apparently.
How's your security clearance? How are you doing with yours?
Yeah. Well, that's maybe one of the reasons that they're so anxious to get the new Supreme Court justice up there. because apparently he feels strongly about the that the president has the right to break the law, apparently. We'll see.
Well, not he didn't feel that way during when he was working on the Monica Lewinsky case.
Right. There, he wanted to ask Clinton every salacious question
right.
imaginable.
Yeah.
Details
yeah.
about yes. the cigar
right.
and the
Right. That's
the
what he wanted
yeah.
then.
This the is, now the he, words vajayjay and yes, orgasm exactly. Appear in the questions that, that Kavanaugh, soon to be Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh, wanted... I'm not done yet. Wanted...
people to ask.
Clinton to be asked...
questioned about, yeah.
Because if it... because and he was asked like this. If Monica Lewinsky said this, would she be lying?
Yeah.
And it was all of these very specific sexual details.
Yeah, great.
And that was released yesterday. That so... the question was, he was okay then, but are these sliding ethics? Are these
yeah.
situational ethics?
Yeah, well, that's it's going to be a very interesting question as to whether Trump tries to pardon Cohen. And I think the scholars will say that he can't do it. Now, the other thing that could happen, of course, is Cohen could be indicted in the state of New York for much of these crimes. Under state law... The president cannot pardon you from a state court violation.
But Cohen's turned on him. You think he'd pardon him? It seems to me he'd be more likely to pardon Manafort, and there's a little bit more separation in terms of the guilty charges.
I don't think there's a limit as to how many people he can pardon. I think he's thinking, pardon yeah. the world.
But Cohen's releasing tapes. He's out for yeah. blood against the president.
He's not releasing them. The
U.S. Attorney's
Special
office.
Counsel, yeah. Or the U.S. Attorney's Office has them.
Mm-hmm.
And
he's certainly not on the president's side. He's making it very clear.
He will be if he gets pardoned, though. He'll shut up if he gets pardoned.
Yeah.
You can bet your best dollar yeah. on that. The problem there, is there a double jeopardy issue with the federal government and the local government in New York?
No.
It's two separate things, right?
Two separate
That's
entities.
How they were able to, those police officers in Los Angeles
right,
and the Rodney
exactly,
King deal.
Right, exactly
okay.
right. Good memory.
Right. Thank you very much.
You've learned a lot.
I'm just trying to, I'm teaching three courses at University of Chicago Law
uh-huh.
School
yeah.
right now.
Right. What was the saying again? If you do the crime and you want a dime, go to Mike Monaco.
Yeah, exactly
if you've
right.
done the crime
oh,
and you don't
God.
Want a dime,
don't want a dime.
Go to Mike Monaco.
Thanks a lot. Okay, well, very good. It's been a big day, Ro.
Wait a
big
second. Hold
day.
On. We're monitoring the rally in Charleston,
oh.
West Virginia. And the president, they're playing this right now.
But if you go carrying pictures of Chairman Mao, you ain't gonna make it with anyone anyhow.
Listen to the irony of this. The name of that song?
Right.
Revolution.
Right.
Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Townstone Financial bringing you Judy Pilex News. You know what I got right now?
What do you got?
In my hands.
Hmm.
Hold on. I had the White Sox tickets in my hands. I just gave those away.
You did?
I have other tickets in my hand right now. Yes! Actually, I don't. Here's
no?
what I'm going to do. If you're caller number 19 at 312-981-7200, you win a pair of tickets to a Chicago Blackhawks regular season home game. You work it out with the Hawks. Which one do you want to go to?
How about that? Get a choice.
That's amazing.
And just in a strange twist of fate, Alex DeBrincat thrown out the first pitch at tonight's White Sox game, which is pretty cool, on Kopech Day.
That's right.
Wow.
Sandy Kopech, as I'm calling him.
It all comes together.
I just hope that I don't want to put any pressure on him.
Yeah, you guys are making him nervous, I think.
He's got a lot of pressure on him, that's for sure. But he can handle it. It's his major league debut. He's got to be. He's been living for this his whole life.
No
this
pressure.
Is it.
Tickets on sale right now at ChicagoBlackhawks.com if you would like to take part in that. If you need to buy tickets, there you go.
Very cool.
ChicagoBlackhawks.com.
I always say this about you, Ro. You're a giver. You're a giver.
Oh, I'm giving until it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm doing. It's hurting right now. I'm going to tell you how it's hurting. All right, the president is coming out to thunderous applause in Charleston,
or West
Virginia right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're...
Take me home.
Oh, look at this. They're playing a little bit of...
good song.
All my memories.
Man, they're just getting the house feed here, but he's out on the stage.
Miner's lady, stranger to blue water.
Trump is like... he's like that Me TV FM or whatever it's called. He's playing the exact same songs.
Earlier he played Living on the Edge, which several reporters took notice of.
Yeah. Okay, he's doing that thing. You say it looks more and more like Alec Baldwin every day. Alec Baldwin's
like
version of him.
Baldwin doing him?
Yeah.
Is his hair getting blonder or whiter?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
You know, sun.
Highlights.
It's the sun. No, I think it's the sun.
Yeah,
he's out playing. He plays a lot of golf.
Well, that is true. Then why does he get a fake bake all the time?
Because I don't think it's, I think this is a real bake that he's got right now. Because he was. How much of this do we have to listen to? Do we have the right feed? Or am I listening to MeTV FM?
Yeah, he's.
He keeps going past the podium and waving, and then he won't come back. So we're waiting to hear if he reacts to either Paul Manafort or Michael Cohen. Here we go.
Wow. That is so beautiful. Thank you. What a great song, too, by the way. Do we like that song? I think so. I'd like to use it all the time, but it only seems to work well in West Virginia, right? So I am thrilled to be back with all of my friends in the great state of West Virginia. Thank you. This was a big victory. We won by 42 points. That's pretty big, right? 42 points. Over a Democrat. Right? Over a Democrat. They didn't do too well. And the people of West Virginia, they're loyal, they're hardworking, they're true American patriots. Remember that. They are great. They are great people.
Except for the ones who didn't vote
My
for
friends.
Him.
Thank you very much. I love you too. Guy, it's a guy, but I love you too. You're proud of our country. You're proud of our history. And unlike the NFL, you always honor and cherish our great American flag. It was just announced by ESPN that rather than defending our anthem, our beautiful, beautiful national anthem, and defending our flag, they've decided that they just won't broadcast when they play the national anthem. We don't like that.
They don't broadcast national anthem except for the Super Bowl.
So while the players are kneeling, some of them, not all of them at all, you're all proudly standing for our national anthem. Thank you.
Because ESPN is where everyone stood into
the
today.
The ESPN thing was terrible. Just came out.
You should really watch ESPN tonight.
America is winning again, and America is being respected again all over the world. It's America first. This is the greatest economy that we've had in our history, the best. Our steel mills are back. They're roaring back. We're making steel again. United States Steel announced a massive infusion of cash. They're opening up 7 different plants. Other steel companies all over the country, they're opening up plants. People said steel will never be back. Steel is back. It's one of the hottest industries in our country because of what we've done with our tariffs. They were dumping steel all over our country. They were destroying our business. They're not dumping so much anymore, and if they do, they're paying a lot. Our military will soon be stronger than it's ever been before. We're taking care of our amazing veterans. And I know this doesn't matter to you, but we are putting our great coal miners back to work.
By the way, U.S. Steel is opening two already shuttered plants, not seven. And they put $325 million into investment. Just a fact check there.
Great people. Brave people. I don't know how the hell you do that, I'll tell you. You guys have a lot of courage. But we love clean, beautiful West Virginia coal. We love it. Right. And, you know, that's indestructible stuff. In times of war, in times of conflict, you can blow up those windmills. They fall down real quick. You can blow up those pipelines. They go like this, and you're not going to fix them too fast. You can do a lot of things to those solar panels, but you know what you can't hurt? Coal. You can do whatever you want to coal. Very important. And we're working now on a military plan. That's going to be something very special.
The coal force.
So I'm honored tonight to have a friend of mine. He was a Democrat. And I don't want to say because of me. Let's say it's because of policy. He decided to become a Republican, and he's a great Republican.
Okay, this is the governor. He's going to go through a number of introductions here, and then we'll take a quick break here, and then we'll come back on the other side and see if he reacts to the news of the day of Michael Cohen pleading guilty and Paul Manafort being found guilty in two separate situations, one in New York and one in Alexandria, Virginia. Judy, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Schumer to President Trump, don't even think about it.
Violetta?
There's only one way to welcome the boys from Minnesota to the South Side. Fireworks. Tuesday night baseball. White Sox Twins tonight at 7 on WGN-TV.
You know, Mars, all they sell are Rovers. See what I did there?
Nice.
See what I did, yeah. That was, thank you, Jeff Carlin, for that line. Thank you. All right,
he went to space camp, you know that.
He did, right. He tells us every day. That's how we know. All right, hold on one second. Excuse me. I went to space camp. That's right. Whenever there's a question on something, excuse me. Did you go to space camp? I went to space camp.
I did not.
Mm-mm. All right. Let's see here. The president is still speaking in West Virginia. Let's see, has he gotten to the Michael Cohen thing yet?
He does not stop. And he's going to fight for you like nobody.
Oh, he's selling the candidates who he's never met before.
Virginia. Right. He addressed the economy, coal,
your
and steel
next
mills.
Senator.
Right. He did make up something, though, about the steel mills. He said that they're opening, U.S. Steel is opening seven new steel mills. They are not. They are reopening two already closed steel mills. And they have made a huge investment, and he said, but it's $325 million. It's great, but it's a, you know, let's be real here. Why does he do that? It said when he says these things at rallies that are so easily provably
checkable, right? Mm-hmm.
Inaccurate, but he does it anyway.
Well, this morning, the EPA rolled back some Obama-era restrictions on emissions from coal-burning power plants. So that's sort of an advance of this West Virginia rally. I'm sure that will...
I'm sure.
It's increasing
right.
carbon emissions, so environmentalists aren't happy, but it's got the pro-coal message.
Yes, because that's the future, coal. I like how you said coal is indestructible, unlike windmills that can get knocked down or pipelines that can get disrupted. But you can also blow up the equipment that is getting the coal out of the ground.
You can.
Because the coal doesn't walk itself out of the ground.
There's some dangers around coal plants for sure.
Yeah,
documented.
Yeah, I don't. All right. Well, you know what? Listen, that's legitimate politics. If people want to vote for him because they want more coal energy in America, then okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's legitimate American politics. I happen to think that that's maybe not the future, but that's me. I'll vote. I wouldn't vote for that. But people will, and that's good. We can have that debate, and that's fine. And we don't have to kill each other and our families over it. This, what's going on now, this other stuff.
What's your guess? Do you think he'll address the Michael Cohen, Paul Manafort situation today?
I do. I think he cannot help himself. He's going to get on a roll. He's going to start to feel comfortable. He went to the NFL. Earlier on, he mentioned the NFL, and he mentioned they're not going to show you the national anthem now, which on the network broadcasts of the NFL, they do not show you the national anthem except for the major games, like the Thanksgiving Day game, they show it, and the Super Bowl they show it, and some playoff games they show it. Sometimes you hear them talking and the national anthem's playing in the background. Right? Which I never like that either. They should be in a, if they're not going to show it, they should be in a commercial break so they're not interrupting it. I happen to believe that. But he, by saying, well, at least they announced they're not going to be showing it, but they weren't. But that doesn't matter, because that doesn't make his, the political point that he wants to make, which is, you know, NFL players bad, flag good. Mm.
Why do you always have to let the details get in the way?
I don't know. Because no one else will. No one else will. All right.
My guess is he mentions Manafort, but not Cohn. That's what he did on the when he boarded on the way to West Virginia. He was very happy to talk about how badly Manafort was treated, but I think the Cohn one hits a little closer.
I think he pardons Manafort in the middle of this speech.
Could happen. Stay tuned.
You think I'm kidding. I'm not. I really think tonight he's going to announce he's pardoning Manafort. He got the paperwork right after Blago. He might take Blago with him just because he can. It's going to go on a frenzy here.